This is Doug Miller. Have you ever gotten advice from a believer when you were going through suffering that turned out to be bad advice? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand. We're in the book of Job, and there are things in this that you need to hear. Very important business, so come along. Bring your Bibles. Open up to Job chapter 1. We're at the very end of the chapter, and we will get on down into chapter 2 today. So open up to Job 1, verse 20, and call someone else. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support of our listeners and interested parties. This is purely a faith ministry. We are not supported by any denomination. We are not supported by any organization. We are supported only by the Lord's people and interested parties, as I say. So, to that end, will you please listen to me? I beg you. Pray for Dialogue. We cannot. There are a lot of things that we can get along without, but we cannot get along without the prayers of the saints. You must pray for us. Write down Dialogue. Go before the Lord and pray. Pray that this broadcast will go out farther. Pray that I be given the freedom to speak. Pray that the Lord will guard the door of my lips, that I not say foolish or hurtful things. Pray that this word will hit its mark like an arrow and pierce hearts and change lives. And I pray that you will also not only remember us in your prayers, but that you will write to us. We would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, to know that you're listening, to answer any questions you might have, to help you out in any way that we can. And when I say no strings attached, I mean it. If you think that your name is going on a mailing list, get over that thinking. It will not happen. If you think that we will write you and harass you and ask you for money, get over that thinking. It will not happen. We simply, you know, whatever you want to do for Dialogue is what the Lord lays on your heart. But let us hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, we have an email address. If you don't like to write with pencil and paper, our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That is Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull down our webpage and read about us or listen to any of the broadcasts that are on there or the conference messages, that is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Dialogue Ministries, .org. If you want to call and talk to me, Jim Dandy, be delighted to talk to you. Our telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. That is 405-535-9089. As you've heard me say before, if you listen to Dialogue at all, I don't have a secretary sitting there answering the phone. Just leave a message, and I'll get back with you. It'll take a few days, but I will get back with you. All right, let's get into Job. We ended at verse 19 last time, and we're going to take it up at verse 20 this time. And we saw Job last time. I mean, you think you've had a bad day? Well, you probably have. I don't know of anyone who hasn't had. Some days are worse than others. As John Denver said on an occasion, some days are diamonds, some days are stone. But Job has had a bad day. You know, this old American saying, people say, have a good day. Well, I've got a way of answering that. I usually say something like, no thanks, I've made other plans. But look, this guy has had a bad day. How does he react to it? Well, he reacts a lot better here than he does later on. Job's behavior, as we will see later on in this book, is not all that good. But right now, let's notice, he comes off pretty well. And he's going to get some real bad advice from his wife later on. But let's see what he does right now. He arose, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The word that the name that God, that Job uses here is Yahweh. Yahweh gave, Yahweh hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Oh my, I love this one. You probably all love this one. You have probably, even if you're out there unsaved, you've probably heard this saying before. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Job comes off real good here. I wish I could say that Job goes on in this way, but look, things are going to get a lot worse for Job. You know, the old saying, I said, cheer up, things could be worse. So I cheered up, and sure enough, they got worse. Well, Job is not saying what he has just said out of any, with any cheer. There's no cheer here. He is hurting, and he's in anguish. But he does say the right thing, and he does act properly. And let me tell you something. There's a lot to be said for that. How you feel about things is not always what's important, but what you do and what you say can be very important. You think Job wasn't hurting here? You think he didn't feel great or didn't feel bad, or that somehow he was feeling great and real warm and fuzzy about that? He was not. He was hurting. And his feelings here are not important. And it's very interesting to note that the Word of God here doesn't tell how he felt, but it does tell what he said, and it does tell what he did. And this saying of his is one that has come down to us across the years, and it is one of the most well-known and oft-quoted sayings ever, given by anyone at any time, any place, in any religion. Now, as I have said before, this man was a Gentile. He was not Jewish. He didn't have the law. And he was one of the wise men of the East. And this saying of his has gone and been translated into virtually every language out there. And once again, how he felt didn't matter, but what he said was amazing and wonderful, and has been a blessing to many. You know, we are told, and I would invite you to read very carefully the 12th chapter of Hebrews, where it talks about bitterness and how, you know, how people don't understand many times They get in trouble, and they have trouble, and they get angry, and they get angry at God. And let me tell you, whatever you are suffering through right now, if you are angry, your anger is basically at God. Your anger is basically at God. You don't have a case to make against circumstances or other people, because understand that God is sovereign. Whatever you are going through, God could put an end to it instantly. If you are hurting and you are in pain, you understand that if you are complaining and crying, that your basic complaint is against God, and if you are bitter, your bitterness is against God. And the book in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, it makes it very clear that if you are bitter, this root of bitterness springs up and it defiles many. If you are going through hardship and suffering, I would suggest right now you look to the Lord and you can tell Him, I don't understand why this is happening, but I know that I am in the hands of a gracious, loving, merciful God, and I know that You intend all things for good and all things are working for good, and you had better bless and praise and honor God. Now, if you say, well, Miller, do you always do that? Well, no. No. Do I get angry and bitter and complain? Well, yeah. Not proud of it. But, yeah, I do it and have done it. But, look, I at least have got sense enough to know that that is not what I should be doing. Look at what Job did. In all of this, he did not sin, and he did not charge God foolishly. Well, what's the enemy going to do? Let's go right into chapter 2. Again, there was a day, another day, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, same question we had, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered, same answer. Answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Same thing that he said last time, but now he's got something else to say to Satan. Something else. Look at this. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Well, let's think about that one a minute. Without cause, you moved me against him. Now, this is interesting in that one might easily say, well, you, after all, are Almighty God. Satan could not possibly move you against Job without cause unless, in fact, there was some cause. Well, there was a cause. God says there wasn't one. Yeah, I know. But there is something going on here, and we will see it. And at this point, however, we can say this, that Satan had no cause in it other than that, you know, it's a causeless thing in that he is malignant and malicious and hateful and vile. And any time he moves against a believer in this way, he is moving out of his own nature. He hates God, and he hates Jesus Christ, and therefore he hates those that are born again in the image of the Christ. He hates those who love the Lord and who are moved by their love for the Lord and who understand grace to some measure at least. And Job certainly did to some measure, or else he wouldn't have been making blood sacrifice. So when Satan is moving against these people, in a sense, the only cause for it, it's not because the people have done anything wrong. Although, you know, Satan's, you know, well, there's, yeah, he loves you without a cause, and therefore, let's give him a cause to hate you. Well, This is no cause. And God, but you have to look at it here. You moved me against him without a cause. Well, God, if I am talking to God my Father, and God my Father, you know, I have a very intimate relationship with God my Father, and therefore I can talk to him as a son, as many people couldn't talk to him. And therefore I can say to him, God, Satan can't move you. You are able to do all things. So there's something going on here that I don't understand. Why would you move against Job without a cause? Ah, we're going to find out later on. But right now, let's just stick with the text. You moved me against him without a cause, and still he is holding fast his integrity. Have you considered this? Well, is Satan the least bit stirred by any of this? Of course not. He just comes back with another accusation. It's never enough for this guy. Is he ever able to say anything good about a believer? Absolutely not. All he can do is complain and accuse. Look at him here. Let's look at this guy in action. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. All right. The last time you sent me out there, you wouldn't let me touch him. Now I took away everything that he has, that he put value on. He is now penniless. He is now, you know, childless. He is now sitting there, and all he's got to his name is his own life, which is unscathed, and this wife of his, which is less than helpful, as we will see in a little bit. But now, let me touch him physically, and he will curse you to your face. Now notice once again, and once again, I am sure this comes as no surprise to many of you, there is a limit put. God says, all right, but you can't kill him. You can touch him physically, but you can't kill him. Well, Satan is on this one immediately, isn't he? So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took himself a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now here he is outside the camp, out where the ashes and the garbage are thrown, out in the garbage dump, with a shard from a broken pot that he is using to scrape these boils, and he was undoubtedly a horrible-looking creature. And here he sits, thrust out, outside, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Let me tell you something. Some of you, even as I speak, are suffering through dreadful physical problems. I can understand this. Some of you know this, some of you don't, but I will tell you about this. I lost my first wife to cancer, and she suffered, and we prayed, and the believers prayed, and the brethren prayed, and I prayed, and she prayed, and eventually she died. Some of you out there, and I know I have friends who are going through suffering right now. I can understand exactly what you're going through. Do you think we didn't question this? Why do I tell you this? Because some of you are suffering right now. We lost J. Vernon McGee to cancer. We lost many great believers. Adrian Rogers, cancer. There are many teachers and preachers out there who have gone home to be with the Lord, and we lost them to suffering that is, you can't even imagine it. Those of you who are listening to me, I want you to look at this man, and I want you to understand that this man, Job, is suffering basically because God allowed it. Now, if you say, well, I don't understand this, welcome to the club. There are many things I don't understand. But I know one thing. All things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. God is doing a work for eternity. He is doing a work to honor and exalt and glorify his Son. If some of this involves suffering, physical suffering, mental anguish, look, I cannot give you all of the reasons, but I want to tell you something. I want you just to imagine that tomorrow you woke up and you found out that Doug Miller was in charge of your life. Would you like that? Do you want to put me in charge of your life? If that happened, I'd put an end to a lot of this. I could have put an end if I had been in charge of my wife's suffering. I'd have put an end to it. I would have put an end to Adrian Rogers' suffering. I would have put an end to Vernon McGee's suffering. Could I have healed them? Well, if God put me in charge, I could have. Why am I telling you this? Because there are people out there today who are not telling you the truth. They are not telling you the truth. They are telling you, some of you, that God does not want you to suffer physically, that he doesn't want you to have any problems, and that if you are having problems, it's because of a lack of faith. Was Job's faith failing here? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Anyone who tells you it's not God's will for you to suffer, you had better stop listening to that person, because there is no truth in it. God has his purposes, and he loves you with an everlasting love, and he has never taken his love off any of his children at any time. And his plans and purposes for you go way beyond anything we can imagine. Well, let's take a look at Job's wife. At the first of the broadcast, I ask, have you ever gotten any bad advice? Well, look at his wife here. She says to him in verse 9, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. You're holding on to this? You know why? Well, yeah, that's real bad advice. And this is his wife, and he had better stop listening to her real quickly. Well, he doesn't listen to her. Look at this here. He said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil in all this? Did not Job sin with his lips? I know that this is not a pleasant subject for many of you. I know that many of you out there would like to hear about good and blessing and this, that, and the other, and to think that I would come on here and tell you many times the blessing is coming to you through suffering. You might not want to hear that, but you need to hear it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.